on, everybody. Dieter Kurtenbach here, joined by Mark Medina in a very cold room in the basement of Oracle Arena. This place, I can see why they're condemning it. Warriors lose Game 5 in a fashion that only they can pull off. 129-121. This team never ceases to confound. Before we get into the breakdown of this catastrophe of a game, I got to tell you all about the Klay deal. Klay Thompson is looking forward. He's looking forward to his next edition of the San Jose Mercury News or the East Bay Times. And he's able to get that every day because of the Klay deal. 11 months, 11 cents a day. And since we seem to be playing more games than we have to, you're going to need all the coverage you can get. We're going to be hitting up on that paywall here pretty soon. Also want to encourage you to subscribe if you are not already subscribed to this podcast. And rate, review, whatever. We are on all of the major podcast platforms. And we're heading back to L.A., Mark Medina.
I think that's why they lost. They wanted another trip to L.A. A full 5 days was enough. If only it were that simple, right, Dieter? I think it...
I'm not saying it's wrong.
Well, it's not wrong, but it's not completely right, because I think the bigger point is it captures their regular season inconsistency. And I use that in kind of quotation marks because right. They were still the number one seed in the West, and they still have a lot of all-star talent. But up to the caliber of what they have, it's never been quite a good pattern of in terms of their intensity, their defensive execution, their string of wins. So it's only fitting when they have all the reasons to close this out, get rid of a pesky Clipper team. You can get some rest. Houston's already advanced.
Yeah.
Apparently none of those things matter to the Warriors.
This team was born without a sense of urgency. That is a Doug Kurtenbach quote regarding me as I was growing up. It was like he was born without a sense of urgency. This Golden State Warriors team, I see so much of myself in them, except for perhaps the ceiling of potential. But
do you have a lot of banners in your room?
We can get into that quote later because Steve Kerr, not the time to spout off there, Stevie. But let's go over this game. The Warriors give up 71 first half points. The defense was nowhere to be found. The offense got clunky, started forcing stuff up, inconsistent. The rotations were strange but not unexpected. The Clippers just took it to them, and the Warriors didn't respond. I think that's fair to say. They didn't respond, and by the time they got around to really putting it together, the Clippers had built up so much rhythm, so much momentum, that the smallest lapse from the Warriors at that point on gave L.A. enough room to take full advantage, and that's why we're going to a Game 6. You mentioned the Rockets took care of business. That's what this is all about. I was on San Diego radio earlier today because apparently San Diego can't get enough of this team. I've been on San Diego radio like 8 times in the last couple days.
Shout out Mighty 1090.
I think I'm an extra guy. I don't know what there's like 3 stations. No,
that's
down.
What Mighty 1090 is.
It doesn't matter what it is. They're good people down in San Diego. Nice laid-back people, not as uptight as us Northerners. And tonight is game 1 of the de facto Western Conference Finals. The Warriors and the Rockets might not be playing each other, but they both have to take care of business here, because if either team lost, they are now going into that series, and both teams will get there. The Rockets are already there. The Warriors will eventually get there. They're not losing 2 straight games to this team, though I would perhaps like to encourage everyone to take an outlier bet on it, because who the hell knows with this squad. This was it. You can't go into that series with a disadvantage, and the Warriors, if they take care of it in Game 6, they are still going in at a massive disadvantage. Houston is going to rest. Yes, they have to travel. But the Warriors are playing here Sunday afternoon at 12:30. The question is if they're playing the Houston Rockets or the LA Clippers. That is something that cannot go overstated. What a ridiculous, what a calamity.
All right, and here's the thing. The Warriors have to travel too. They have to go to LA. They have to go back. Maybe it's not as far as Houston, but the larger point is the accumulation of things. I mean, Draymond Green was talking at shoot-around today that this right wrist thing actually does hurt him.
Yeah.
Apparently not bothering him enough that the Warriors have listed him on the injury report, but he says that it bothers him, and he's not going to talk about it because he'll play. Hey, credit to him, but
yeah,
you always wonder, hey, for anyone who's not less than 100%, will it accumulate even more? And then you're looking at the minutes. Kevin Durant, 41. Steph Curry, 38. Draymond Green, 37. Klay Thompson, 37. Make no mistake, this is what the playoffs are all about. They're going to play those heavier minutes. But you can shave those minutes off an entire game. That's going to carry over a lot, especially the fact that, remember last year when they played the Rockets, you always wondered how much of those extra minutes did that affect James Harden and Chris Paul, maybe Andre Iguodala on the other end. They always say if he didn't get hurt, a five-game series, not a seven-game series. What happens here? I mean, Andre didn't play a lot. He only played 27, but still, that's an accumulation.
Those are minutes for a
34-year-old Iguodala. So that's, I think, the larger thing. I mean, we can dissect the game itself, but those are the main elements of concern.
And James Harden is sitting in a hyperbolic chamber right now, and Chris Paul is getting massaged by 14 different people to keep those hamstrings loose. And Mike D'Antoni has an extra game of tape now that the Los Angeles Clippers have given him. Now two, frankly, that the Los Angeles Clippers have given him that he can dissect and say, this is how we can beat the Golden State Warriors. As much as it was just such a wasted opportunity, a failed test for the Warriors not to win tonight, it's not because they gave the Clippers life. Yes, they sort of kind of did. Like, there's a nightlight somewhere in the distance. Maybe they can come through on it. But the Warriors are going to have to self-sabotage to levels we have not quite seen yet. And they are really good at self-sabotaging, and they want to show it off here. It's about that next series. And the Houston Rockets are going to come in with every advantage that they could want. They're healthy. They have positive momentum. That game with that series with the Jazz, they had to counterpunch time and time again. I don't know if I was thrilled with their performance necessarily. I don't feel like they're coming in as the favorites by any stretch. But the biggest thing that they could have had was rest. And yes, they didn't take care of it in four games like they should have. But man, for them to get a couple of extra days rest on the Warriors is huge, because we're seeing how top heavy this team is. And they wasted a 45-point performance from Kevin Durant.
Right. And here's the other thing. I mean, we're talking about the minutes now, but we have to quantify the game 6 minutes.
Right.
And I agree with you. I don't think the Clippers are going to win this, but there's going to be more Clipper fans in the building than usual. They'll get jacked up at least at the beginning of the game. They're going to have to bring their intensity. And if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm exhausting these guys to make sure they win. Like,
right.
No reason to have a game seven where all bets are off, even if you have home court advantage, and the fact that then you give the Rockets an extra 2 days of rest. So that's going to be interesting. But here's the thing with this game. It just captured the season in a nutshell, especially with them defensively, where you go down the line. Okay, Lou Williams has created some damage this playoff series, but in games 3 and 4, they suddenly made adjustments, and he was a non-entity. Danilo Gallinari has been a non-entity the entire series. All of a sudden,
unplayable going into
right,
this game.
And now he's, you know, he was their leading scorer during the season. Now he is again. They took a huge step back defensively, and then as far as how they are on the road, and maybe it doesn't matter as much because they're going to win. It also epitomizes that they don't really care about final season Oracle Arena, because in the regular season, they would say, hey, this is kind of boring. They would have their juices flowing a lot more when they're on the road in those tough environments.
Listen, I don't want to read too much into it, even though I'm being rather hysterical, I'll admit it.
It's the tone of your voice, dude.
Well, this is – I'm frustrated. I'm burnt out. I mean, we got to – Medina, you're built for this. I'm not built for this. I was at the Sharks game last night. I got NFL tomorrow. I'm on a plane at 6 a.m. on Friday. They better – I mean, it doesn't matter if they take care of business now. I'm screwed. I'm not getting any days off.
Right.
I need to play my golf. I'm like Andre. If I don't play golf, I'm completely worthless out there. The Warriors might come into that series with the Rockets whenever the hell it starts at a level of attention that they've never given these Los Angeles Clippers, LA Clippers. Sorry, keep offending Steve Ballmer by not using the acronym. Maybe that's
balls, Dieter.
So, apologies. I wrote about this in this morning's Mercury News and East Bay Times. I love where these Clippers are at on the macro. There's just so many reasons to buy into what they're selling, and this game only further epitomizes it. I mean, you talk about just a scrappy, no-nonsense bunch. And Patrick Beverley, listen, all credit to him. He knocked down a couple of big threes. He was living between the ears of a couple of Warriors players tonight, including Draymond Green. And when the referees, and this was not a good refereeing crew, I'm not saying it was a poorly officiated game. I'm just saying that this was not the cream of the crop that the NBA sent tonight. And these are not guys who are going to be in the second round and beyond. We knew that going into the game. they only proved it further. Mark Davis was a clown show. And again, I the Warriors can't blame Mark Davis. They can't say, oh, well, Patrick Beverley was being ridiculous and this and that. The Warriors can only blame themselves, but the Clippers provided every opportunity for the Warriors to self-sabotage. The referees did nothing to help, and the Warriors took themselves out of the game even further by constantly complaining. I'm shocked that Draymond Green wasn't thrown out of this game. I'm shocked that Steve Kerr didn't have a conniption and get himself thrown out of this game. I thought either one of them would have been warranted, either from the refs or by Kerr just taking it to another level to maybe fire up his team the way a manager does when in baseball when things aren't going well. There was just so many things. I mean, these Clippers know how to push buttons. You add some true star power to this team. The core of this team, man, they could really go somewhere for next year. And six games against the Warriors in the first round, I'm not sure if that's more of an indictment on the Warriors or a compliment for the Clippers. But those two things coming together leaves us in this quasi disastrous situation that it feels to be right now.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that says, "Hey, Draymond's losing his core, his composure." The officiating was awful, but I think there is a point to be made, whether it's the technical or just in general, that they seem to be channeling their energy in the wrong direction.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is not only with the officiating, but there are so many times, Dieter, where I believe Draymond got fouled and he's trying to get the crowd going. Kevin Durant does the same thing. I think Steph has an and one. Hey, all right intentions, but those are like 5-hour energy drinks, or like it didn't last that long.
Right.
And instead of trying to get the crowd going or gain on the officials, like how about just play with intensity and play with defense, and it'll take care of itself.
And the worst part is you see these moments, and we saw them in the end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter, middle of the fourth quarter even, where the Warriors go, oh, they figured it out, everything's okay. But they just don't sustain it. There's something that's holding – there's like a restrictor plate, to use a NASCAR term, where they just can't get to the levels where they were last year. The fear is not there in this Clippers team. They don't fear these Warriors. Maybe they're stupid, naive, whatever, but every time the Warriors get on that run and Oracle Arena started to roar, the Clippers just came back and scored 6 unanswered points. And it was uncanny every single time. There is no home court advantage here. I thought the crowd was fantastic tonight. The Clippers were completely unfazed by it, and most teams crumble under those circumstances. And if you're Houston and you're sitting there in the hotel watching this game as you're getting treatment or whatever at home watching it, you got to be thinking there's something not quite right with this Warriors squad. Everything they were built up to be, they're close, but they're not quite there, and they're gettable.
Right, and here's the thing. You know, the Warriors always talk about, hey, they're trying to build habits so that during the playoffs it's good. This isn't building a good habit. They were building good habits after that game two loss, but then they went back the other way. And maybe the Warriors are just looking at last year where they fooled around even up to game 7 in Houston and they turned it around. But I think comparing that circumstance this year is fool's gold, because the identity of the team is much different. Not only are they a year older, but a lot of their bench, unlike last year's, unplayable because they're younger and Steve's not using them. And then secondly, when you lose a guy like David West and Zaza Pachulia, I mean, whatever warts they had by the time the playoffs hit, they were at least veteran voices that can really help guide the ship.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have that in the All-Stars and they have that Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, but I feel like they're playing with fire where they're getting close and close to the edge, and this could come back to haunt them, not against the Clippers, but against Houston.
Two things I want to talk about off of this game. One is the rotations, and two is Stephen Curry. Let's start with these rotations. Yeah. The Clippers have started JaMychal Green, who is not someone I would have pinned as a 5 in the NBA recently at all. He's always been a stretch 4 to me. They've now made him a super stretch 5. And that was, again, you know, the Clippers have been throwing kitchen sink tactics at the Warriors since game 1. This is the basement sink. I mean, they're really going deep into the plumbing section here to find stuff to throw. And it's worked. And I think a big reason why, and I still just don't quite understand why Andrew Bogut is out there to start the game. I understand that you want to have a solid rotation, that it's the first round, and it's a little bit more like the regular season than perhaps we give it credit for when it comes to rotations. But these Bogut minutes have been rough over the last 2 games. And I think Steve Kerr has to make an adjustment, especially when you add in how helter-skelter everything gets the second foul trouble comes around. And the Warriors had foul trouble in the second half with Draymond Green picking up five and the fifth one. Draymond will say that he had possession of it. He went for a jump ball there. I can't remember on who. I believe it was either Gallo or Montrezl Harrell. He tries to go for a jump ball with four fouls early in the fourth quarter. Attacking. I mean, he wasn't like, it wasn't like the ball was near him. He just saw an opening of the guy was turning around and he just kind of went in there. It was always going to be a foul. He has to be smarter than that. And it didn't mess up the rotations as much as it put everybody on edge for a second. It slowed down some momentum. This top-heavy team just cannot rely on quality minutes when they get out of sync. And they're going to be out of sync. These Clippers have figured out a way to knock them out of it. Do you see anything from this squad right now that gives you hope that they can kind of figure out these rotations? Because something is off kilter for sure.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not really too concerned about the Bogut-Kavon stuff. I think that's more of a comfort thing. And also because Bogut has such great chemistry with Draymond.
Yeah.
Kavon Looney, I know you love him, but it's just not the same as far as the tandem goes.
Yeah.
But I think that specifically in this game, for him to take Kevin Durant out at the end of the third quarter was catastrophic. And you get it. He's already playing 41 minutes, having 45 points. And I would say, you know, of all the things that went into this loss, it's their lack of defensive intensity, number 100%. One. But I think it's one of those things where it's almost looking too far ahead. Like, you could fault the Warriors. Maybe they're looking too far ahead to Houston. And Clay will admit that. Some other guys say that wasn't a thing. Steve might be kind of looking too far ahead of what this means in the fourth quarter as opposed to, hey, like, this can wet the bed right now. Like, let's not put to waste. Let's salvage this lead and then have some cushion. And so I think that was, like, the bigger thing as far as the rotations. And, you know, this wasn't so much of a thing for Steph tonight because he didn't get it in as much foul trouble. But, you know, any time that he's been yanked because of those four fouls, like, that's disrupted his rhythm and just overall timing and knowing when to put him in.
Did you get any sense that Steph got into it? He made a couple of threes in a row, and they almost felt against the run of play. The Clippers have been trapping him. They've been blitzing him, whatever you want to call it. There's been a lot of double teams for Steph. And he had a fine night via box score, but it never felt like he affected the game in a serious manner. It never felt like he controlled the tempo of the contest. And the Clippers have done a wonderful job every time the Warriors have gone out in transition. They get back enough to foul. And they make that a dead ball situation, and the Warriors are going to have to execute in the half court, which has led to a lot of Kevin Durant isolations because the Warriors don't seem to want to move all that much off the ball in this series. And a lot of that is the Clippers just being really aggressive and holding, and a lot of that is I'll call it what it is, a little bit of laziness. But Steph has not seemed to – there hasn't been a flurry, at least one where it feels like every eye is on Steph. Yeah. And when he comes down the court, you know it's coming from everywhere. He forced up a ridiculous shot in this game. Again, against the run of play, the Warriors are starting to get momentum, and he comes across the court like he's Dame Lillard and just tries to jack one up from 40-something feet, and you're like – total clank.
Paul George would have said it's a bad shot.
Well, it's not a bad shot. It was a terrible shot. It was a legitimately terrible shot. Yeah. Stephen Curry is the only one where you don't immediately pull the guy out of the game for taking that shot. He has not been great. He has not been, and that's his standard, right? He's Stephen Curry. He's the two-time MVP. He's going to be on the Mount Rushmore of basketball when it's all said and done. I firmly believe that. He has not been great over the last two games. And the Warriors need him to be great because just Kevin Durant and you know, a nice chip-in performance from Clay, who forced up a lot of shots tonight, and Steph is not going to get it done. You can't have one guy carry the load. This is not the regular season again, straight up.
Right. And, I mean, so the numbers show Clay went 1-7 in the second half. Durant went from three. Kevin Durant went 1-6 from three, but I feel like when you break that down, Steph's shots felt like empty calories. Like, he made it, but it didn't really carry anything.
Yeah.
Where I think Kevin, he wasn't shooting well from three, but he was aggressive. He was getting to the foul line. Like, he was doing his thing.
He had massive dunks in that game.
Yeah. Too. So, I can't figure out Steph because I think it'll be fine. He'll bounce back, but he just hasn't shown it yet.
I mean, I thought that after the last game. Yeah. I thought that after game four, and he's, oh, I got to be patient and just wait my turn and do the right things. The Clippers have been blitzing Steph for 6 years now. I mean, this is not a new strategy. And they don't have the personnel necessarily where you go, oh, man, get the hell out of the way. It's the Los Angeles Clippers and their ability to play defense. So there needs to be some transcendent play, and that falls on Kerr, that falls on his teammates, but more than anything else, it falls on Steph.
Right, and it's also been a reflection of the Clippers making adjustments to open the series. It was all about trying to get into Kevin Durant's head with Patrick Beverley and kind of taking him out of his game. But Steph and Klay, you know, they made them pay in game one, game two. Well, they went to bed just not trying after being up by 31 points. Now, because of this lineup switch and because Kevin's been more aggressive, I think the Clippers have kind of taken the approach of what Houston did last year, where Kevin's going to be unstoppable, but the bigger poison is Steph and to a lesser extent, Klay. Yeah. So how do you counter that? The thing is with the Warriors, it's a very interesting thing to answer because they're so top-heavy, they're so talented, like you don't really need to make an adjustment. Like the adjustment is play your four All-Stars and have them play hard. But I think that there might be some smaller adjustments. You know, you can go the matchup stuff when they go small. When do you have Bogut and Looney? Maybe you bust out the cards and put some Draymond, or hell, maybe even throw I don't want to say it, but even throw Jordan or Jarepko in.
I was thinking this entire game, how can you not give just two caution to the wind minutes to Jordan Bell?
Right.
I mean, honestly, this game was begging for him. With DeMichael Green at the four, with the five, you got this Montrezl Harrell minutes. Like, Just see what happens. You're down.
Yeah, it is tough. Like, you know, he rightfully got criticism for, like, sitting Durant out.
Totally,
like,
get it.
Maybe it could wet the bed. But I think the bigger thing is when Kevin's got it going, like, you just got to ride that. And then not be Tom Thibodeau, but, like, once you have a little bit of a cushion, maybe you can give him a breather here or there.
It is interesting. If the strategy is indeed the Clippers saying – Durant can do whatever he wants, but we can't let Steph get going. It speaks to this Warriors team and what makes them tick, because we know that Draymond Green is going to be the heartbeat of the defense. And he took, to his credit, he took blame for the poor performance on defense tonight. He said he didn't bring it early, and you could see him in the entire second half trying to get the Warriors to come with him on the defensive side. And eventually he got enough of them to where it was interesting. But Stephen Curry is the engine that makes this offense go. Durant can almost operate as an independent contractor out there. He'll give you points for the team, but it doesn't feel like it's a unified effort. It's one dude being absolutely brilliant. When Steph is going, even if he's shooting every shot, it just feels like a collective unit coming together to make that happen. Everyone seems to eat off of that. Maybe not literally, but in sort of a spiritual sense where it just feeds this team. There's more movement. There's more movement off the ball. That's the Warriors at their best. Not having any pace because the Clippers are slowing it down is a big thing. But Steph just has to find a way to get going, because I feel like that will liven everybody up. That's going to get Klay going. That's going to give Draymond some dunks if he can still get up. That's going to give Kevon Looney or whoever the hell's playing center, maybe Jordan Bell, some dunks. Like, this team has lacked the verve that has so defined it over the last few years. And Durant is having to just pull this entire – it's a dead weight he's pulling behind him, it seems, at times. And he was brilliant tonight, and it just didn't matter. It didn't matter in the long view of it. So I think goal number one is – if we got to play on Sunday. We certainly don't want to play a game seven, but we got to get Steph going. We got to get Steph going early in game six, because if we don't have Steph going, who the hell knows what this team can even do? The next series probably doesn't even matter if Steph Curry is mired in a slump.
Right. And here's the thing. I mean, if I'm going to break down this loss, the main thing is the effort, specifically defensively. And then, you know, as prolific as they were, like, Klay could have been better from three.
Yeah.
Durant, as well as he could have been, he was, maybe a few threes more into his bread and butter in the mid-range and attacking the basket. You do all those two things, like, they should win. Go ahead and look at the rotations and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, it should take care of itself.
It's a big picture game. Yeah. I want to get into one more little minute thing, and then we'll get out of here.
All right.
This game was called by the officials in a consistent manner. It was a ridiculous manner, but it was a consistent manner, which is essentially, if you go anywhere near the basket, we're going to call a foul on you. And the Clippers figured that out early, and they just started driving, and the Warriors' rotations were total crap the entire game because they didn't show up with energy, and the Clippers became the aggressor on that side of the ball. And meanwhile, on the other side of the court, the Warriors just thought that they could three-point shoot their way out of it, and they were not the aggressors until later. And it was interesting how Durant, you know, did those two dunks and sort of showed everyone the way. Like, here's how it's going to be done, guys. You put one dribble down on the court. They're not going to rotate. Gallinari is certainly not going to protect the rim because he was playing the five in the second half. Dunk on his ass. And yet, they didn't do it. They shot, how many threes did they
39
shoot?
39 threes. That's Houston Rockets territory.
It was a gross number of threes. And a lot of them were contested. A lot of them were forced. Klay shot like three of them just completely off balance. He made one of them, and he thought he had the hot hand again. It lacked a fundamental basis. It just didn't feel like, you know, Steve Kerr said, I thought we brought really good energy. It's like, okay, cool. Where was that energy focused? Because what it should have been focused is on being aggressive. All the criticism that Durant has gotten over not attacking the hoop enough and not just taking what's his, the entire Warriors kind of kicked in on that, and they were just passive the entire game on offense, in my opinion. At least it's something obvious to where, okay, well, here's the change. But I think a lot of that was predicated by officiating, and it will be interesting to see how they approach the early minutes of Game 6, because if they start going to the hoop, okay, well, clearly they feel like that was on them. If they don't, then they feel it was on the referees. But either way, they're going to have to get results, because just shooting that many threes and hoping a bunch of them go in as a means to victory – it didn't even work against the Clippers. Clearly, they just thought, well, this opponent really can't keep up with that. What the hell is it going to do against the Rockets? I have a very hard time feeling comfortable. I'd never, you know, you and I both know, I wasn't feeling totally comfortable with this this Warriors Rockets series going into it. I'm not thrilled with what I saw out of the Rockets, but man, I'm even less thrilled with what I've seen out of the Warriors so far.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, all these things that the Clippers have been doing, the Rockets, it applies to them because they can exploit it even more. So, you know, regardless of Game 6, like, this is just the beginning of what could be some interesting turn of events. Like, if there was drama in this first round series, like, this isn't even going to compare to what's in store for the next round.
Yeah, we thought we had a wake-up call in Game 2. apparently, it's like at the hotel when you got a 6 a.m. flight. You're going to have to call me, like, 3 or 4 times
yeah,
here.
Yeah, and you know what? I was surprised. I mean, I think we were saying, I was predicting they were going to close out with the caveat that, hey, their problems aren't solved. Houston will greet them with some of them.
Yeah.
But I'm very surprised that this happened. I thought the 31-point loss in Game 2 would have woken them up. I thought because it's the Clippers' name and Doc Rivers, hey, they don't have Lob City, but it's like, lose to the Clippers. Kevon Looney was sharing that when he was a rookie, they had a rule, don't lose to the Clippers. Yeah. And then the third thing, they say they see Houston, they have respect for them, they could close in five. Yeah. Like, they need to have everything fully stocked up, and it's weird.
That's just what puzzles me. I mean, they know the score of the Houston game going in. It's clearly on in the television in the locker room right before they head out into the game. And they didn't go, all right, boys, we got to take care of business tonight. Instead, they're completely lost on defense from the opening tip. That doesn't jive. I mean, that's just not how championship teams play basketball, straight up. And again, maybe this is the wake-up call. Maybe they need to feel the fear from the first moment they step on the court with the team. And that, yes, we were all overlooking this game. We thought, well, it's the Warriors, it's the Clippers. They've had 31-point leads in three of the games. They were gritty down the stretch and totally showed their class in Game 4. This is a foregone conclusion. Everybody in the arena was thinking it was a foregone conclusion. You and I both thought it was a foregone conclusion because there was every reason to believe it was a foregone conclusion. Credit to the Clippers for being the only people who thought, well, we can make this interesting. But really, you got to put the blame on the shoulders of the Warriors for not being professional enough to just come out, smack the Clippers in the mouth early, declare dominance, and say, if you want to keep fighting, go ahead. We're going to be here. We're going to keep coming at you, wave after wave. Instead, what they did was they gave the cockroaches, you know, some crumbs, and then the cockroaches have taken over the entire pantry. Right. And we'll get into this Rocket series whenever the hell it starts. But again, just a massive wasted opportunity, a failed test, whatever you want to call it, because now you're adding game 6 minutes where Steve Kerr really doesn't have much choice but to throw everything out there, as you said, and exhaust these guys to a certain extent. Play them 40, you know, Steph Curry's going to probably play 40-something minutes in that game. Now you have all of that, and then you got to come back, get on a plane, come back and play in the afternoon, 36-hour turnaround. And I've been saying this for months. This team gets into a series that they could actually lose, and they drop game one, as they seem so want to do here at Oracle Arena. I don't know how this team responds, because they have not responded well to a tiddlywinks challenge from this Los Angeles Clippers team. These Rockets, they're the real deal. I don't even think they're as good as the Bucks, but we can get to the Bucks later. That's if the Warriors survive long enough. These Rockets are the real deal. These Rockets can beat the Warriors straight up, and that's without the advantage that the Warriors just gave them. Really disappointing, and this team needs to find its character ASAP. They keep saying they got it, and certainly their track record indicates that they have it. But each team's a little bit different, and everything's changed just a little bit. And there's been that cloud here at Oracle for a while. In the good times and the bad, there's just been something off. It just hasn't felt clean for one second in this building. That character needs to show up in Game 6, or I'm just going to start presuming that it doesn't exist and that they're just full of it. I mean, honestly, if it doesn't show up there, when will it show up?
Yeah, I think I think they'll show up. They'll win and all that. But I think the thing that I think Warriors fans have to keep in mind when we're talking about this, presumed next series, it's the bare minimum that they're going to have to bring the intensity. Like, I'm looking at this series, and it's going to be one of those things where it all comes down to execution. Absolutely. As opposed to effort. And obviously here in this series, it's more about effort than anything else.
Well, and then you had to hate their execution down the stretch. When they finally brought the effort, then the execution wasn't right. There. I mean, it was just a calamity on all stretches. It's bound to happen, but these Warriors, the regular season for them is 100% over. They have run, they have used both of their lifelines. I thought they used up one in the 31. I can't believe that they still had a second one here, but here it is. It's gone. They don't get another opportunity to just mess around. They used them up. And so we have a game 6 in LA. It's going to be fun. It's going to be charged. There's going to be a lot of soul searching that has to happen between now and then. Should be a pretty interesting basketball game too. I'm excited to cover it, even if it's frustrating that we're not going to get the day off that I was so desperately craving. But this is the life that we've chosen. It's the best life. And, listen, if you're not in on it now, I'm going to say it again. The Clay deal, 11 cents for 11 cents a day for 11 months. Things are happening fast and furious on this Warriors beat. You're going to want to catch all of it. Mark Medina with every second detailed for you. I'm coming in with the hot takes. If you can't already tell. And boy, the cast of characters that we got going on around us, there's some interesting perspectives to be had on the periphery from the San Jose Mercury News and the East Bay Times. And again, if this hasn't dissuaded you, subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend or two, and let us know. We'd prefer 5 stars, but we prefer honesty more than anything else. That's how we do it here. Mark, tell them where you can find them. Tell these people where they can find you on Twitter. I got to get all these thoughts out of my head before I go sour.
Okay, I'll pick the load up here. Mark G underscore Medina, Dieter, you're D Kurtenbach. And then as far as this podcast goes, I think it's like every platform imaginable.
Yeah.
iTunes, Stitcher, Google, Spotify. I'm missing something here.
There's something in there. I don't know.
Stitcher. I said that.
Yeah, Stitcher. I don't know. It's an RSS feed. I mean, if you just holler at Mark or I on Twitter we'll give you the link. We got the link hanging around. Just let us know what kind of phone you have and where you want to listen to it. I don't know. Mark, this is going to be fun, but it shouldn't be this fun. This is ridiculous.
LA is always fun. I'm ready.
Mark Medina going back to the homestead, baby. What you guys don't know, Mark Medina floats when he's in Los Angeles. Him and Draymond Green, the two happiest men on earth, 2 more days in Los Angeles. All right, we will talk to you from down in the Southland later.